Good morning again.
Morning.
Glad that you are with us this morning. I failed to mention earlier that we've got some registration slips going around, and you can also register on our Wiley Methodist app. Keep those moving. We'd love to know that you were here. And if you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here. There's a seat, a card in the seat pocket in front of you. With a blue stripe that says guests, and would love for you to fill that out and let us know you were here. At the end of the service, you can leave that there, or I would love to meet you. I'll be down here at the end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guests. So lots going on this morning. We will close out our service also with the Holy Communion, which is always a special Sunday. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. You ever hear anybody say that Jesus was just a prophet? Why would you worship a prophet? They were obviously seeing him as God in flesh. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority. Stir our hearts and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, continuing the sermon series, How to Recognize Spiritual Growth in You. And if you've missed some of that series, you can catch it on our app or on our webpage. And you can catch up with that. But basically, how do we recognize if we are growing spiritually? And today's message is you look for ways to share Christ. You look for ways to share Christ. Matthew 28, this end of this book of Matthew that we just read, has become known to us as the Great Commission, the Great Commission. And we say that, and we really don't think about what that means. A commission is an instruction or a command or a duty given to someone. It's not, I had several years ago, I had a lady who's now passed away, gave me a little plaque, and it said, they didn't call them the 10 suggestions, okay? And that's the same way with the Great Commission. We are commissioned by Christ to do something. He's got something for us to do. It's not a suggestion. It's not that'd be nice if that happened. It is something that we have been instructed as Christians to do. I'm not going to fill you with shame today, so just stay with me, hang with me. Okay, some of you who are introverts, it's like, I don't like knocking on doors. That's okay. You're okay. You're still going to get to go to heaven. It's all right. As I ran across this survey, Barna is one of the companies that does surveys, Christian company, and they did this survey about a year ago, and I hope you can kind of see it, but I'll recap it for you. They broke down by age groups. The millennials, Gen X, boomers, and the elders are the four generations that they surveyed, and these were all Christians, professing Christians, that were 18 years or older, and the darker circle in each one of the circles was strongly agreed with the statement they were asked, and the outer one somewhat agreed. So the first question that was put in this survey was, part of my faith means being a witness about Jesus. Okay, so if these are professing Christians, and you can see they're almost universally, they're in the mid 90% either agree or strongly agree with that statement. Yes, my faith means being a witness about Jesus. So they believe we're supposed to do it. Okay? Then the next question is, the best thing that could ever happen to someone is for them to come to know Jesus. Again, every age group, mid-90s, either agreed or strongly agreed with that. Okay, I'm wondering about the other 5% that are, anyway, but that's another sermon. Okay, but moving down to the third question, this was the one that caught my attention. It is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they will one day share the same faith. Now, all of the three older generation groups were in that 19 to 27% believed that. 47% of millennials, almost half of millennials, believe it's wrong to share your personal faith with someone hoping that they will come to that faith. Almost half of our young people. Now, this is not scolding young people because, trust me, I know that a lot of us older folks are in the same boat. Isn't that amazing? They believe it's important to share about Christ, and they believe that's the best thing that can happen to someone, but then they begin to say, hey, it's kind of like in this culture that we're in, it's like, I don't want to force that on anybody. That's wrong. All right, let's go ahead and move off of that, Lee. It's interesting. So if, and this is the great commission from Christ himself for us to go and make disciples. I'm going to unpack this scripture just a little bit closer so that we can kind of see, you know, the details of it. And the first is Jesus is clear about the power and authority he possesses. It doesn't say you have all power and authority. He says, I do. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all the power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so that's where it has to start. We have to understand, is Christ really who he said he is? Well, the resurrection proved that, didn't it? This is the resurrected Christ saying this. I don't imagine, it's interesting, the 11 were there, but I think there were more there. He says, the 11, they worshiped, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I'm like, I don't know, but if I'm sitting here seeing, you know, this Savior who hung on a tree, I saw them take his lifeless body down from the cross and place it in a tomb, and then 3 days later, we're having this conversation. Actually, this was longer than 3 days later, but it was right before he was ascended. But he's this resurrected Christ is there, and some still doubt it. It's interesting. But Jesus is very clear, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's where it starts. We have to understand who Jesus is. Secondly, and I've told you this before, when you see the word therefore, what do? You go back and read to see what it's there for. Okay? Therefore, Jesus commissions us to make disciples because he has the power and the authority to do it, and he's commissioning us. He's saying, therefore, since I have been granted all power and authority in heaven and on earth, therefore, go and make disciples. Do something for heaven's sake. Literally, for heaven's sake. Do something. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And he has, and there's more. Well, how do we do that? What does that mean? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that was radical stuff because Jesus is putting himself in as God, as the Godhead, the triune God. God, he's saying, baptize not just to the Father, but baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, in other words, he's saying, me. And the Holy Spirit, whom I'm going to send. Because Jesus has all power and authority and it's been granted to him over heaven and earth, and because we are his, we belong to him, therefore Jesus commissions us. He assigns us something to do, to make disciples. And he goes on to say, not only to make disciples, and part of that is baptizing them, but also teaching them. Teaching them. What does that involve? Teaching them God's holy word. And I say this often. If you haven't heard it, you'll hear it again. Don't count on me to tell you what this says. I hope I will. I hope I'll give you some meat on Sundays. Read it. Amen. People died so that we could have this in our hands. Years ago, centuries ago, the church had control of this, and it was like, we'll tell you what it says. And that led, as you can imagine, that led to all sorts of sin and chaos. Hence, the Protestant Martin Luther and the Protestant movement. And so men have died. I haven't studied it in just a little while, but one of the people that was making copies of this, they took copies that he had written to get into the hands of people, and guess what they did with them? They put them around a stake that he was tied to, and they burned him with them, with the very Bible that he had written to get in the hands of people, teaching them to obey what I have taught you. And not only what I've taught you, but the word says, teaching them everything, to obey everything that I've commanded you. Again, there it is. Jesus is not suggesting things. He's saying, go and make disciples, teaching them everything I've commanded you because of who he is. And then finally, Jesus doesn't just send us out on our own. It says, that God's word says, Jesus reminds us that he goes with us. He goes with us. And this very end of these verses that I read, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And we see also in the book of John 14, it says, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Who? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you, followers of me, you followers of Christ, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. We have God. We are the temple of God. He resides in us. Jesus is saying, I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. I'm not giving you this great commission to go out and I'll stand back and see how it goes. No, I go with you because I'm in you. Now, how do we do that? I mean, you know, so there it is. I mean, the Great Commission, Jesus has authority. He gives it to us. He commissions us to go and make disciples. And he says he'll go with us. So how do we do that? Not every one of us. I mean, we're all wired differently. I shared this a while back. We had Revive Texas. Some of y'all did that. And I know I went with, Cheryl and I went with some of you. And it's like, you know, walking up to somebody at Home Depot and asking if they know about Jesus, that's really not my thing. And I'm a pastor. It's probably not too many of us. That's probably not our thing. Some of us, that we're wired just like that, and that's great. So how do we do that? I mean, how do we make disciples? You know, I end every service. I actually didn't know this for about 2 or 3 years into my ministry until somebody pointed it out. It was just coming out of me just that I end it, go and tell someone. God's word, 1 Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, first of all, we need to be demonstrating hope. Because if we don't have hope, how can we tell someone that nobody's going to ask us about our hope if we don't have hope? Am I moving too fast for some of you? Come on, stay with me. If we don't have hope, you can't share what you don't have. But if we are true followers of Jesus Christ in the midst of chaos, and Brent talked about it in his prayer time, it's, man, our world is messed up. You just read the paper, watch the news, and you just see this stuff everywhere. And it's like, but in the midst of that, do we have hope? And if we do, someone sees that and they may ask, why aren't you freaking out right now? Your wife just left you. Why aren't you freaking out? Because I have hope. And his name's Jesus. Always be prepared, Peter tells us, to give an answer to someone who asks for the reason for the hope that you have. Many of you sent links to this to me this week, and one of them said you'd have to be living under a rock or something this week not to have seen this. But how many of you have seen the clip of the young man forgiving his brother's killer? Most of us have, but not all of us. I'm gonna play a little clip of that here in just a minute. But let me set the story in case you don't know it. This young man, you'll see they have a Dallas police officer, a young lady, went to what her story is. She went into an apartment. It was a multi-leveled apartment where they had parking garages and stuff. And so if you got on the wrong floor, every floor looked basically the same. And she thought she was going into her apartment, and she walked in, and there was this big black gentleman in the apartment. It was his apartment. He was doing nothing wrong. She thought it was her apartment, and long story short, she shot and killed him. She was found guilty of murder, and she was sentenced to 10 years. And so that has happened, and in this video clip, the brother of this victim has an opportunity, as all the family did, to make a victim impact statement to this young lady who has been found guilty of murder. And I want to listen for the disciple making happening in this courtroom. Go ahead, Lee, and play that.
I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just, I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you, because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you. as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
That young man was making disciples. I mean, not just the impact that he had on this young lady, but I believe thousands and thousands of people in our country are seeing this video. And what's, to me, what's so powerful, even beyond what he says, but this is a black person and a white person, that this is happening, the racial tension that's been in our nation for some time. I don't know anything about this young man. I don't know anything about his family, but I can tell you what, that boy gets it. That boy gets it. The courage to do that. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but he was also, and I've seen other reports from this trial. There were protests in the street before, you know, people blocking traffic and protests, and there was just lots of anger and vitriol going on, and which is understandable. That stuff doesn't change any heart. That right there, what we just saw, that's a heart changer. That's disciple making at its very best. Jesus also said, you, Christians, us, you are the light of the world. We have something the world needs, church, and it's the love of Jesus. It's not a religion. We, quite frankly, we don't need that. We don't need the institution. We need Jesus. Amen. You are the light of the world. And then he goes on to say, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And I'm telling you, I don't know that I've ever seen a better example than what that young man just gave us. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. Go and make disciples. Look for ways to share Christ. And it's, you know, again, we're all wired differently. I think people, not all of us are wired to stand in front of people or to like I say, knock on doors or any of that kind of stuff. But people are watching. They're watching us. If we are professing Christ, they're watching us. And if we have hope whenever our circumstances should be panicking, when we have hope and peace in those circumstances, people will want to know why. We have the opportunity to share Christ, to make disciples. I said that young man got it. You know who else got it and who gives it to us is Jesus. And I've said this before, but it's amazing to me, I believe I mentioned it last week in my sermon, that as Jesus is preparing the night before he goes to the cross and he institutes this meal, first thing he does is he washes the disciples' feet. And guess who was one of the sets of feet that he washed? Judas. And it says very clearly that The devil had already prompted Jesus to do what he was going to do. Jesus knew it. He's sitting around the table, and he comes to him to wash his feet. Man, if we can tap into that, church, if we can tap into that. And he also, as he's instituting this meal, he knew that his body literally would be broken very soon. And he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he had seen crucifixions. If you lived in that region, you had seen crucifixions. You knew the Romans were good at what they did. And he knew that this would not be a pleasant experience for him. He had been foretelling this to his disciples for weeks, what was going to happen. And he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of my blood. It's a cup of the new covenant established in my blood for you and for many." This meal, I say this every time we partake of this, one of the things that I actually like this about our denomination, I really do, it's considered an open table, which doesn't mean that non-believers are welcome at this table, because if you're not a professing member of Christ, you shouldn't come and partake in this meal today if Christ is not your Savior. But if he is, it doesn't matter what denomination you're part of, what church you go to, if Christ is your Lord and Savior, it's an open table to you. If you confess your sins, repent of your sins. So it begins, this table, and some people have told me, I don't feel worthy to take this meal. And I would say to them, you're a perfect candidate. You're who the meal's for. When we don't feel worthy, we understand that we come in our brokenness to this God, this Savior who loves us, that wants us to be whole. And you're the perfect person to come. So it begins with repentance. If you would just bow your head and in your own heart, in your own personal prayer, confess your sin before our holy God. Father, bless this bread and this cup. May they be for us the body and the blood of Christ. In the name of Jesus, church, you are forgiven. Amen.